animals less healthy than you can't nourish you.
Are you surviving or are you thriving?
Are you too busy to live?
Do you have grain brain?
That was brain.
Fight for your life. Get your prescription for health today.
Is Mother Nature too good to be
it's
true?
Not you, it's the food. It's a no-grainer.
Oh. That isn't happening to us.
It's already happening to you, woman. Join our army of Minas.
Keep the government off our farms.
Make it happen today.
It's time to drop some atomic mom bombs.
It's not me. It's you. Invest in your life.
Yay! Her name is Neethi.
It's Neethi the Pharmacist, and I'd love to welcome you to our second season. I am really excited about the work that we're doing this year because I'm working on doing an internet TV show with two lovely ladies, Janae Williams and Valerie Cruz. And I hope that you'll tune in. We're calling that show Our View. So it's the Our View series that I will also be sharing with you here on our podcast this year.
Shall we begin? Let's begin now.
Hey friends, I am Neethi the Pharmacist, here with my co-hosts, Janae Williams and Valerie Cruz, and we are on full. Welcome to Our View. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, everyone.
So today, I'm really excited. We're going to get to listen to Janae Williams, hear her story, find out how you've arrived. Are you ready?
I've arrived. Yes, I'm ready. How did I arrive here? It's not pretty, but I arrived here because I realized that I was a part of an experiment that I didn't sign up for. I didn't ask to be a part of this experiment. I didn't want to be a part of this experiment. However, this experiment impacted my health. It impacted my life, impacted my well-being in every way. And I didn't even know about it. So that's why I'm here. I'm here because I'm not the only one in the experiment. You're in the experiment too. We're all in the experiment. And none of us asked to be in the experiment. And it's unfair. So I want to tell my story really from that angle of the aha moments that I had, realizing I was a part of an experiment and just how it unfolded for me. Just going through my life, what I realized was that I appreciate energy. I learned a lot about energy, and Neethi laughs at me about that a little bit because that's big for me. It's big for me because I learned at an early age what it felt like to have low energy, but I didn't even know what it was. You don't know what it is until you experience the opposite. You know, mm-hmm. You only know how you feel after you get better. You know, then you look back on the way you felt like that was too much. That was sickness, but I didn't even know because that was just how I existed. I actually lived my life going by the scientific method to get energy, and I used food. So I observed how food felt after not texture-wise, but just how it made me feel. I would take it in. I realized that was not good, not good for me. And then I would, you know, raise a question, you know, why was that not good for me? Run an experiment on myself just to see how can I be optimal? So I think I've always been in a search to be optimal. Mm-hmm. The way it happened for me, the way it started was actually when I was 11 years old and I started going through puberty and I opened a really bad door. It was a big, bad door, really. It was through an ABC Family movie. I felt like I didn't feel, you know, how you are when you're, you know, when you were going through puberty, you just, it's a blackout time for most of us, you know, it's that gap, you know, where we look back like, whoa, you know, but for me, I did not like the way that I looked. I didn't, you know, there was something that I wanted that was different. And I felt like I had too much weight on me. I really didn't, but I felt like I did. And so I saw this ABC Family movie called The Greatest Little Girl in the World. And it was about a little girl that was a ballerina. And someone told her, you are way too large for what you're doing. And so what she did in the family movie was she decided to turn to eating disorders. Because that's the answer, right?
Wow.
So she began to take this stuff called Ipecac to make her throw up. She took Epsom salt to, you know, for things to go out the other way. She did laxatives. She stopped eating altogether. She restricted. She did everything. And why in sixth grade did I say to myself, that's an idea?
Wow.
So I opened this big bad door, and this door changed my energy completely. But the thing about it, the beauty of it is, it actually made food an inundation for my mind. Hmm. I was inundated with the thought of food.
Wow.
Because food was my thing that was, I felt like it was my coping thing. It was the thing that began, this was something that went from 11 years old to 26 years old. It was the thing that began to become the thing I went after to stop the pain or stop the change my energy, change me into feeling good, you know? So I was like, well, what can I do to feel better? So I tried everything, right? Because, you know, when you're in your college years, you try some different things. And so I was experimenting. I experimented with everything.
So you were doing the food drugs instead of the drugs.
And the really interesting thing about me is that drugs, I don't know about this, if this is true, but I read something about being an oxidizer. Drugs scared me. Mm-hmm. I was a quick oxidizer. So what would happen is when they administer something to someone, it has an impact. But when they administered it to me, it was increased.
Wow.
So something like Benadryl, it was overwhelming for me. Mm. And so I already really didn't trust the system because I'm like, you're supposed to know what you're doing, but that stuff was not good for me. So I used food, it was for energy, but it was also, how do I stop this? Because I know that this is something that I'm keeping secret.
That's interesting to me because I think that you're talking about how people view food when they use it as pleasure seeking, when they use it as emotional way or a way of tapping into their emotions, mm-hmm. making them happy mm-hmm. versus mm-hmm. sad, making them have a pleasurable moment versus a mad moment or you know, just making food to be their happy place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Food elicits so many feelings in people and memories. And, you know, mm-hmm. it goes deep. It can run deep.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened that door, you know, it seems like an awful thing, but we all have our stories. It was actually a blessing for me. Now, I know that sounds strange, but it got me to really pay attention to my body, mm-hmm. to ask questions if something didn't seem right. So I was very, very careful about my body, what I put in my body, what others, you know, if I was sick. You know, what is the reason for it? I researched and I researched and I researched. Mm-hmm. Lifelong learner. That was something that jived with me. I wanted to do that, you know, and it actually helped me. So, you know, just I say this because it's important for us to take that responsibility to know our bodies and how our bodies are reacting to what we're eating and what we're putting in.
But what you have to be careful of is if you're not giving your body enough fuel in, mm-hmm. in some food disorder cases, or if you're forcing your body to act in a way it's not meant to act, it can cause problems.
Mm-hmm. Horrible problems, mm-hmm. you know, and there was a lot that I dealt with. And, you know, it wasn't so much a consistent thing always because I was seeking. to change. You know, I had bouts of experimentation. Like when I say experimentation, you know, let's go vegan for a couple of years and see what that's like. And I was honest to what I stuck to. I was trying to find answers. And so when I did that, I got a chance to see, what does that feel like on my body? Mm-hmm. You know, mostly it would feel great, you know, and I would change something or restrict, you know, which restriction can be dangerous, depends on your mindset. Mm-hmm. But I would change something, and I did macrobiotics. That was a Japanese health food mm-hmm. diet. You know, I did all these diets, which I do not believe in now at all. I did all these diets, and I did these things just to see what would occur, how would it impact me. And you know what's interesting? I was in martial arts. I was very active. You know, it wasn't like I was just always horrible and dealing with it. There were times when I was awesome, you know, and I was really on a roll. But it would come back because it was a door that I opened and I was trying to shut it. And I spent a really good part of my young adulthood trying to shut that door. So it pushed mm-hmm. food in the forefront of my existence and in my mind. But when I was in Taekwondo, I had a teacher. You know, he was a master. He was a grandmaster. He was awesome. And we would do Taekwondo, but then sometimes he would teach us like Tai Chi meditation. And really, it's not a spiritual thing so much. I guess it could be. But for me, I was using it more like, how it's still optimal. How can mm-hmm. I be optimal, right? Mm-hmm. This was I mentioned this because this is kind of like an interesting point. I got some data on myself. So I was doing this Tai Chi. And what he did is he brought some electrodes because it was actually, help me with the Eastern medicine. Mm-hmm. And so, which is very natural, very good. What we were doing and what you do when you do something like a form of Tai Chi is you're kind of using your body's biochemistry mm-hmm. with your meditation. So it's your movements. Your movements are allowing your body to take to gain circulation.
Right.
Circulating through
energy.
Your organs. Moving energy. Right. Sometimes when you say moving energy, people get creeped out.
No. But if you're doing biochemical. Like any type of Qigong or yoga or something,
yes.
then you're moving energy, you're releasing energy, you're taking energy in and you're moving it out. You're taking it in and you're moving it out.
Yes.
You're moving it up and down and all around. And you're welcoming good energy and you're releasing negative energy.
Yes.
So you're creating a sphere. And it's holistic.
It's holistic and it's healing. Mm-hmm. And what he brought is these electrodes and an mm-hmm. amp meter.
Oh, yeah.
And he put that on us. And
you love that, right?
I loved it. But here's the interesting thing.
Janae's such the scientist. It's
like, at heart.
Like,
that was my background.
She was just high on that. She's like.
But, you know, like I said, I put the scientific method on me, you know.
Right.
And I was
No, which is, by the
results.
Way, what we're trying to get everybody to do, right?
Yes.
Like, you have to be your own science experiment because, you know, look. Nature is so, unrepeatable, right? It's not repeatable. We're all unique. We have a unique blueprint. So what's going to work for me? What's going to work for you and you and the next person? It's all going to be different. That's why these diets are a joke to me. Like,
yeah.
all of them are insane. I mean, well, I should say just very absurd because clearly, you know, there is no one size fit all for anyone. And, which is the reason why, again, like I'm always saying that regenerative is so important. We have to bring all our focus back onto the browning of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. The desertification. And whatever we're doing, we need to make sure that we are supporting the, you know, regenerative process so that we can regain the green, you know, of the earth. So I love your story because what your story is actually doing is sharing with everyone how you know, there's nothing wrong with going through, trying to figure out, let me do an elimination diet. Let me do,
yes.
you know, a moment where I see how does my body do? What kind of energy do I have if I'm only on vegetables? Okay, now what if I add some broth? Okay, what if I only just juice for a month? You know, people do these things or they do like, you know, to me, a detox doesn't make any sense because you're just detoxing to retox in some way mm-hmm. and you're throwing your alkalinity
you
off
need
extremely.
To detox if you weren't tox.
You know, why is it that everybody feels like they need to do that, but they don't want to believe that there is toxicity in the food?
That's right.
And then they say that it's just the animals or they say it's just the dairy or it's just the whatever is convenient for them to say it. Like, you know, everybody wants to be a blamer. Again, you know, distractions, mm-hmm. shiny bright light, you know, none of that is the truth. The reality is real food versus poison. And that is
and
all.
And you can use your own story, just like Janae is doing, and your own scientific experiment on yourself to prove it.
Yeah. I mean, I believe everybody
should
be in
that
place.
You did it. We did it. We've all done it. I mean, outside of the disorder part, mm-hmm. I did, you know, we all did it. We all had to see what was going to work for us, what was going to work for our family. And it's harder when you have a family.
And Janae just got proof. What mm-hmm. did the electrode
tell you? Yeah, what was the proof?
Yeah, so
the magic moment.
The magic moment, right, where we could really see what's going on. So, you know, we were circulating this energy, you know, by motioning, doing these Tai Chi movements. And he hooked us up, and I was so excited. You know, it was kind of like a line, you know, and he just put the electrode on each one, and the amp meter would go, you know, it just, you could see it go
so
high.
Cool.
And I was like, man, just from that, you know, because we did it prior and it was low. Then we did the movements and it was high.
To bring your energy up.
Yeah. So then, you know, then they got to me and my needle never went.
Wow.
Now, get this. I'm in my 20s. That's when you're supposed to be the most energized, right? He said, you know, it's almost like my wife, and his wife had leukemia. He said, my wife has this too going on when she gets hooked up. And I thought, here's my secret. My secret. You know, I can't let that out ever. You know, some of the things that I have done to myself, you know, but I came face to face with the result of some things that I had done. And so I was trying to get myself to a place. And you're absolutely right, you guys, because we're here telling this to you guys because it is all of our responsibility to feel what's really going on with our bodies.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
You are you. Only you know you. Don't let anybody else be the expert of you except you.
Well, first of all, no one knows your truth but you. You knew exactly why that meter didn't go.
That's right. Yeah.
Nobody had to tell you why. Mm-hmm. And you also knew what you weren't going to ever do again because you knew what it did to you. And that meter proved it.
Yeah.
It gave you proof. And so all of us know our truth. You know, you can't really run from your own truth. I'm sorry. So, you know, I think that if we're all really being honest with ourselves, then we already know our self-sabotage. All of us are self-sabotaging, and all of us know what the self-sabotage is. I just think that it would be really wonderful for us to get to a place where our children are no longer able to really sabotage themselves.
Yes.
With food because it's just real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not, you know, sure, I mean, that doesn't mean that they couldn't maybe have too much raw ice cream like we described earlier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, having too much of something, what we've found, I think you both can attest with me to this, that if you're eating real food, meaning regenerative food, then even if I wanted to go crazy and gorge out, like, I just can't even do it. Because I get so full, like, you know how when you, I know if you have children, then you already know. Like, if they say no more, that's it. You can try to give them whatever you want, and they'll throw it at you. Like, itty-bitty babies, you know, they will literally throw food at you because they're done. Or they'll fall asleep. Their head will fall on their plate. Like, that's happened to me. How many of you have the kid, you're feeding the kid falls asleep right on their plate. So, you know, like, they're just done. There's nothing you can do. So if you're eating regeneratively, then we get to the point where we're satiated to the degree that even if we love the bacon or whatever it is, we're like, oh, it tastes so good. I can't eat one more bite. You just can't eat one more bite.
And you're okay with walking away.
It's exactly.
Well, you have to.
You have to, or else
you're going to fall down in the
but
plate.
But it's so, just to that point, it's so satisfying. And not in just the way you get satiated. Sometimes I get mad because I'm satiated. Because it's so good, you know?
It tastes so good.
And that was
in your mouth.
Part of the reason why, for me, I'm just telling my own story. Mm-hmm. Macrobiotics was great. It was not the food of my region. I was eating food from a whole other country. Veganism was energizing at first because I went from horrible to something so good in life and living.
You mean processed?
Right. From
you processed. Went from processed, not processed. Horrible, but
like, which was horrible.
Yes, of course.
But it was fake. Processed, which unnatural. To now, I was discovering veggies, which was great.
Yeah.
But it was not satisfying for me. For me, my mind still was thinking about all those other things, and I thought, I got to give that up forever.
Like, but it's your fault. Like, isn't that your fault? I mean, the lie is that the reason that you can't stop thinking about that is because you're weak.
Right, of course. It's
you
me.
Know, it's you. You just don't know
I can
anything.
Never forget about bacon.
I know. You're so crazy. I mean, but if you're actually, we all know, because we've all done this, but when you are eating a balanced regenerative diet, in which case we are eating more micronutrition, I'm talking about greens and our meat is on greens.
Yes.
So our meat is high on greens. So there is nothing that we're eating that isn't on greens. So the animals we're eating are high. They're on green. And then we're eating them, but we're only eating a little bit because we can't eat a lot of them because they're so nutrient dense. So, like, I tell people that I can take a chicken breast and feed a family of four, and they look at me like I'm insane. But that's because we eat that much green with it also.
Yeah.
Like, we're eating so much green that the little bit of meat, it's not because I'm trying to not eat any more of the chicken breast. That's not what I'm trying to do. I actually make a lot of it, and we always leave most of it because we're full. I mean, and trust me, I can't tell a 13-year-old boy to stop. He's 14 now, whatever. I mean, teenage boy, you can't make him stop. Right. He is going to eat as much as he's going to eat. And, of course, there's, you know, the 36-hour window growth spurt that all these kids go through where they'll just, you know, whatever is before them, they will just suck it down like a vacuum cleaner. Mm-hmm. But it only happens for that 36-hour window. And the rest of the time, you know, they're full.
Yeah.
You know, and they're mad, too. Because they wanted more
of it. Something. It's so yummy.
Because it tastes so good.
It's not supposed to be a chore, you know. Eating.
It's just not a chore.
It's not supposed to be a chore. It's supposed to be good. You're not supposed to feel like you're missing something. You're supposed to feel like you got everything that you need. And that's the thing that made it unsustainable. Yeah, I did it for 2 years.
Wow. Veganism.
Veganism.
Right?
I did it for 2 years. But it wasn't the ideal because there were things that I was missing. Of course, we know there's some nutrients that are just hard to get. But
right.
My body was missing something. But my mind was missing something. And I could tell you, you know, just my gut feels good right now. The greens I get are good. I'm not trying to overcompensate with meat. It's all about moderation, balance. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to just go gorge on meat. You know, you shouldn't mm-hmm. want to. But veganism was extreme for me. Because it was, and for someone that had been dealing with eating disorders, the way I used it was restriction, which was not a good thing, but yet it it restricts you from some whole group of food that is not, it's not a negative thing, you know, to have that.
Ooh. So having, you know, people will say that, you know, fasting or, you know, being conscious and, or, you know, because we have endless food, so, you know, people argue that, you know, you should have discipline in terms of the intake. And I argue that it should be quality. If you are saying, you know, and insisting upon the highest quality of whatever the nutrition is, then you can't overindulge.
You can't.
Well, what I want to know is, you went on all these diets. Were they effective?
They did were effective find, for a time.
Did you find that you were feeling healthy and that the weight you wanted to be in?
For a time. Yeah. For a time. And, you know, I think for me, it was also about regaining my mind. Mm. Weight was a part of it, too. I certainly didn't want to gain a whole bunch of weight, you know, but I wanted my weight to be good. I wanted my mind to be good. I wanted to not think about food anymore. You know, that's okay. what I really wanted.
You didn't want to think about food, but then you were like, but when you're involved in these diets and you're just like measuring food all the time, And then also,
yes,
my other question about that, like, that I've never really been able to understand.
That's what it was. I didn't know until I went through it.
Right. I mean, anything that we're promoting doesn't require you to think of it
right.
in that way at
so
all.
So that's where I end up. So we're uh-huh. talking about my story. I'm here in my, 21 years old, and really just trying to find this thing. Find what's going to work. And yeah, so I tried a lot of things at that time to see what would get me into a zone of health. I did find it. That part of the story is coming up. And I'm going to fast forward, actually, because, I didn't stick with any of them. I didn't stay vegan forever. I did raw for a while. That was so energizing. So awesome. So I went raw for a little while as well. However, fast forward to, let's go to 2011, mm-hmm. 41 years old, okay? Done well up to that point because I had learned a lot, right? All along the line, I learned a lot. Somewhere around 26, I lost that, issue with eating disorders, but it was on my mind, still food on my mind. So anyway, 41 years old. I had always run. I was still, doing martial arts, et cetera, feeling pretty healthy at times.
Are you vegan at this point?
No way. No. That's what I'm saying. I dropped that. That was in my
20s.
And then I went raw around 36. I mean, I still did some things because I was always trying to see
right.
what food, how, I don't know, nearly as much as I didn't know nearly as much as I know now.
As you get into your 30s, as you get into your 40s, things change.
Yes.
And you've had a kid and, all these other things change.
Yeah.
Your body is shifting.
Yeah.
So your energy would be shifting.
Yes.
And that's important to you.
And I'm fast forwarding because there was a moment here mm-hmm. That I realized the experiment, what I've been fighting with the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
41, I had been active. I had, that wasn't my issue really. I had been running. I had discovered running as a thing, 5Ks, whatever. And it was working for me really well. I didn't like running, but I tried to convince myself that I liked it.
Because
it was so effective. And
oh.
it's still so effective.
You made me believe you liked it.
Thank you. Because that's what I was trying to do. You gotta talk to yourself. You gotta tell yourself.
Yeah,
it's just effective. And I like it. I've learned to like it, I guess you could say, but I didn't in the beginning.
Well, everybody thought you did.
Awesome. I'm not trying to fool everybody, but I'm trying to fool myself. But it's because it's working. Here I am, and I decided somewhere around the springtime of 2011, I'm so done with this running thing for a moment. I was talking to one of my running guru friends, because I had a goal. Let's just run like Forrest and see what it does to your body. Because, activity was still an experiment. It's like, what is that going to do? How can I be optimal that way?
Yeah.
So, he gave me some advice that seemed good, but it was bad for me because it made me quit. I was trying to get faster. I'm a tortoise. Tortoise in the hair. I'm the tortoise. I'm slow. But I could run forever.
Wow.
I mean? I could
endurance
run forever.
Running.
It's an endurance. But I didn't know anything about that when I, back then.
Uh-huh.
So I tried to get speed. And he tried to get, you do hills. You could do hills. Or you could run for 5 minutes and then you could sprint. So I did that for 3 miles. I ran and then I sprinted. I ran and I sprinted. And I thought I was going to die in the streets. I did.
She's
and
like,
so
all the joy is gone.
It was gone. I came back to him and I said, look. I did what you said. I don't know. I did it for a couple of days. I said, and I thought I was going to die.
You killed all my joy, man.
He said,
killed the joy.
He said, don't you know that the magic is in the misery?
Oh.
And that's when I completely stopped running. I stopped moving completely.
Wow. Hey, women are stressed out enough.
I stopped
they don't
moving.
Need the stress. Wow.
And so what happened when I stopped moving, it was interesting. How people can move or they can go to the gym or they can whatever. And that's really what's keeping them. It is their healthy way of existing. But if they let go, what happened when I let go? 41 years old, let go, stop moving. Shouldn't have been as big of a deal as it was, with 80% being your food choices when it comes to health, 20% being movement. That 20% was what was saving my life. because after about 6 months, I had gained 10 pounds per month. I got up 70 pounds past where I was.
Wait a minute. Where was your food at that point?
Oh, my food was not good. Okay. I wasn't thinking about raw, vegan, nothing. Around 41, I was just eating whatever. I was still doing
grocery
fast food.
So you're eating in the grocery
total
store.
Total grocery store, yeah.
Standard American diet.
Between 26 or, yeah, I mean, I did things along the
way. It wasn't totally standard, was it? Or was it standard American diet?
Not totally because, but I didn't really have a lot of education with it because I knew vegetables were good, but I didn't understand there was a quality to them. I didn't.
Okay, but you're eating vegetables and you're not eating cans of food. Or were you eating canned
food? I was eating pretty much what everybody else was eating.
I don't know what that means.
That means, like I said, fast foods. I was still
doing
fast foods.
So you would eat fast food?
I would eat fast foods. I was like a standard
American
person.
You would eat a microwave dinner?
I was a standard American person.
So you would eat a microwave dinner?
I would eat whatever
Americans
eat.
She's like, don't make me say that.
No. I don't mind saying it. I'm saying it clearly.
Okay, no.
I was like everybody else people. Okay. Like everybody else, like some people that are watching now, I did different things.
See, I can't understand because we didn't ever live on TV dinners or anything like that. So
I grew up where we would have them. So the standard American diet was game.
Wow.
Right?
So you went from vegan to raw to this. But the good thing was that you at least learned how to eat vegetables.
In this span of time, it was just experimentation. It was a collection of data. I understood a lot, but it wasn't sequential. It was kind of like, I did vegan. I was not vegan again. Then I was back standard American diet. Then I did raw. Oh, that was cool. Then I was off. And then I was back standard American diet. Right?
Okay.
And I did this throughout, you know, from teens to 26 with dealing with eating disorders. And then from 26 to 41, wasn't practicing eating disorder-ish stuff, you know, activities.
Okay, so
I was still on a standard American diet.
But you were running.
Oh, I was active.
And then you stopped running.
And then I stopped. 41, okay. I stopped running. And so when I stopped running, I put on 70 pounds.
Wow.
When I put that 70 pounds on, I couldn't recognize myself. I've got a picture, actually, of what it looked like. So, you know, really, we talked about this before, that picture is inflammation, which is the precursor to all the diseases that people have, all of them.
Right.
And I was not displaying any particular disease. And how do I know that? Because I would be at work and my ankles would be swollen. There's some people out there who your ankles are swollen. You don't understand why. Mm-hmm. I remember what that was like. Or even walking up the stairs and stopping halfway, like, why is my heart palpitating? Now, this is someone that had always, you know, been active and doing things. And so I was like, what is wrong with me? You know, this is not right. My hair was starting to thin. My energy, that was tanked. I had so many things going on, and I wanted to know, what is the disease that's making this happen?
Right.
I would check myself into urgent cares. I was at my daughter's my daughter's doctor's appointment. She was, I think, like 8 or so at that time. And I had to sit down, and my heart was beating so fast, and I felt pressure, and they did not like the way that sounded. So they rushed me to the emergency room. I went there. She's sitting there. She's crying. They come back. We don't see anything, ma'am. And so what that looks like is me going, what the heck is wrong with me? Right. And the doctor saying, oh, you're over 40. That's what, you know, I'm 42.
Awesome.
I'm 40 as well. And so this is kind of the thing that happens when you're 40. And I thought, there's no way. First of all, I'm a rectangle. You know, my shoulders were up to my head. What's going on with me? I don't even recognize myself when I see myself in the mirror. And you know, I pledged to myself, I will never deal with any manner of eating disorders. But when you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't see yourself, you're floating around. It plays with your mind.
Yes.
So my mentality was, I was afraid. But I wouldn't lose hope, but I felt like I was getting close to losing the hope. I had a turning point. So it took me the next summer, because I'm not afraid to experiment. I'm not afraid to try things, but I thought, for my life, I have to try something. I decided, let me start with running, because I know I had stopped that. I shouldn't have stopped it. Ran 3 miles, 3 days in a row, gained weight.
Stress. Wow.
Gained weight. I dropped to my knees and I cried and I thought, how is it that I gained weight with something that has always worked for me? Mm-hmm. At that point, I just said, you know what? I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to give up hope. I went on this Joe Cross juicing right? Yeah. I saw that Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead on Netflix, sure. And I really believed in his story. And I was like, even though what I still didn't know was that vegetables, you know, can be clean or they can be full of pesticides. So right. I was making these pesticide concoctions, yeah. Right?
And
I
highly
was, just,
concentrated.
You know, I think liquid is wow. this close to just intravenously, you know, injecting yourself, you know, you're yeah. just flooding your body. I was flooding, yeah. But it was wow. still better than what was
it's
going on.
It's still better than processed food.
I did it for 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and then things started to change, and mm-hmm. I found a glimmer of hope, and I think it was God's rope, you know, for me mm-hmm. to hold on to until I
the
went
life
to
raft.
A workshop, an information session actually, yes. that was put on by my church. I went to this workshop session, and my now chiropractor was there. Okay, I did not want to go because I felt like I knew everything about food. What do I not know? I have experimented on myself so much. What are you gonna say?
Hey, right? Measured my energy.
Measured my energy. Yeah, I had electrodes. You know, so I went there not really feeling it, but my first lady said, if you have an event and you've invited someone to your house, you ought to be there. And I was like, oh, that means I gotta go. So I went, I sat in the back, right? And the first thing he said was, I had an attitude. I was like, when is this gonna be over? Is this gonna take up my whole morning? And the first thing he said was, if you think that eating healthy is expensive, have you priced diabetes? Mm-hmm. How about cancer? Right? Mm-hmm. And then I got my attitude just totally away from me, and I was all in. And then one of the next things that he said, I remember the burning Twinkie or the non-burning Twinkie, right?
You cannot burn
because there's so many preservatives. That amazing. Was something I'll never forget. And then when he talked about soy, now I do remember my vegan days with all that tofu, trying to be every other food,
tofurky.
But what it was. And I loved it, and I could do magic with it, right? I really could. But when he got on the soy, I was like, no, don't touch that. That's sacred, mm-hmm. right? But I talked to him afterwards.
Everybody knows soy is healthy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was problematic. I went to him that following week because, you know, we all need to have that learning moment,
yes.
that teachable
yes.
moment. That was mine. All of us had it. Everybody that's out there, mm-hmm. you guys will have it. But before that point, you're not going to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
At that point, that was when I grabbed a hold. Nobody had to tell me anything because I had already yeah. gathered all that data all those years. It was not for
right.
nothing. Even though I was on the standard American diet for right. the longest, I still was gathering data. I knew a lot. And then he had this puzzle. You know, you have mm-hmm. this puzzle piece. He took that puzzle piece, put it right in my puzzle, and I was like,
OMG.
There I am.
Yeah.
I went to that first appointment, and I will never forget, he said, on a scale of 0 to 10, where are you? I said, oh, I'm a 15. When do we get started? And that was my first appointment.
Wow.
He gave me an adjustment, and that day, 240 pounds of me went running. I ran 3 miles, but it wasn't a run. It was like a joggle. Kind of like,
yes.
you know, but I refused to walk. I refused to walk because... But it was a marking point.
Moving.
It was something for me mm-hmm. where I said, I have to do this. And this is the day that everything changes. And that was the day everything changed.
Because you decided.
I had decided.
You had to decide.
Right.
See, so that's what we're asking everyone to do is to change your mind. So nothing happens until you decide. Like, you have to decide to live. You have to decide to arrive. You have to decide and be... Like, you know, like Valerie was talking about, you have to be living with intention.
Yes.
If you're not doing that, then, you know, then what are you doing? You know, that's the thing. No one, and everyone out there probably, you know, I was one of these people that was like, you know, this is really like a lot of words. And like, why do we have to have all these conversations? And this is just too much talking. I don't know. Why can't we just go back to the latest rock star guy or whatever? You know, no one's talking, you're not talking about fun sports or something. But, I mean, you know, what is more important than your life,
yes.
than your health, than your children? Now, you know, that's the thing I was telling someone. I said, you know, you are not really caring about what I'm saying because you don't have kids. Mm. And when you have kids, and maybe you're never going to have kids, I don't know, but, you know, it's interesting how your whole perspective changes when you have this precious little life that you have to make decisions for. All of a sudden, it matters. It matters that you can't die, because now what's going to happen with this person?
I think that's so true. But I also think once you have something happen to yourself, then you want to think differently.
Yes.
Right. It's got to be one or the other.
With Janae, right? She saw it when she saw herself, as she put it, get square. She saw it. Rectangle, sorry. And it makes a difference. It mm-hmm. makes you look at things differently.
Yeah.
Right. And you were able to then process that and try different things.
Yeah.
We're not saying it's going to be an automatic thing.
Well, she didn't turn into that rectangle automatically.
It took time. Yeah.
It didn't happen in 5 seconds. And it's not going to be remediated in 5 seconds.
Right.
And then your story is very typical, really.
Yes, it is.
Everyone has that same lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Everyone also thinks exercise is going to save them.
Let me tell you, you cannot work off poison. You can work out all you want, but as long as you're putting poison in your body, you cannot work it off.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't exercise.
No.
You should exercise.
We're not Absolutely. Saying do not move. We're saying that as long as you're exercising and you're putting in chemistry project, then it doesn't matter, because the minute you stop moving...
Yeah, you're not safe from disease.
You're not safe from disease at all. But the minute you stop moving, mm-hmm. you don't know. And actually, our entire lives shouldn't rely upon the fact that we're at the gym every day. They didn't even have gyms for millennia, right?
Yeah.
So what happened when you started running again?
Well, I started running, but mainly I was getting these adjustments, and then I felt empowered to learn in a different way, because I started learning about cleaning up what I ate. That was something that I was missing. Now, I was following regimens, and this is the thing I don't like about diets. It's like you get so tied up in the food. What can I eat? What can't I eat? Like what is the food itself? Like
the
I can
measure.
Eat this and I can eat that, but I can't eat that. That's not what this was. This was when you choose it, make it quality, make it good. And I learned that it's got to have nutrients in it. I learned that you need the ingredients to be good, and you need to get out of the center of the grocery store if you are in it, and get to the perimeter to where you have fruits and vegetables that are not contaminated, that are not adulterated, mm-hmm. that the seed is good. And so this was what I learned to be an assault. Even the biggest thing, one of the biggest things, because there's so many things, was fats. Fats are killing people. The bad fat, the inflammation that's caused by mazola, corn, canola.
Genetically modified.
The reason you go to Bojangles and you feel like need now to go to bed. After this, I just feel bad. The reason is a lot of reasons, but the oil was a bad, is a one bad part of that is causing so much breakdown into your body.
Let's be clear.
Fat, okay,
so,
yes.
Let's fat not is villainize, not we're not villainizing fat.
It is the quality and the types of fats. You need saturated fats. You need polyunsaturated. You need monounsaturated fats.
You need a round robin of
diversified
fats that are
fat
coming
profile.
From healthy, clean sources.
And that's
with
what
life-giving
I learned.
Life-giving force. If they don't have any life-giving force, then it is poison.
That's what I learned. And I got to, the way I got to be rectangle was because I trusted the system, right?
Again.
I trusted.
Again, hiring a centralized corporation. We trusted and we put all of our, because, you know, the centralized education that we were given is that the centralized food system, the centralized medical realm, the centralized, you know, all of these things are the things that we're supposed to trust and rely upon.
Right.
So your story is nowhere near being close to being where you want it to be.
Absolutely.
Right now.
It's moving there.
Right. You still have so many more pieces that...
It's exciting, though. I enjoy that. I enjoy the hunt. You know, but I didn't like what I call the assault of the experiment. The experiment is there are so many things that we have to fight against, and we shouldn't have to. An apple should be an apple. Why do I need to think about the seed of an apple, where it came from? Why do I need to do all
because
of that?
Because it's convenient.
Why is somebody spraying my food? Why is it that it's so difficult, you know, to get something clean? I didn't know. I became a rectangle. I'm kind of, you know, making this light. I became a rectangle because I didn't know. I was a part of an experiment that I wasn't aware of. And then I had to fight through all of that and learn, love myself enough to learn what's going on with our food. You know, I will, and I learned the preservatives in the food. My fat cells were so full of toxins. That was part of the reason why they were still stuck in there. I had to get rid of all of the toxic condition that I had going on. And then once I did, it released itself. And so what you need to do, and Neethi mentioned this before, is concentrate on living a life that's not toxic in the first place. You don't have to detox if you're already living in a detox state. You just have to know what's toxic. Meat is not toxic. It's not toxic. So I learned about, that was an assault. I actually met Neethi, at my chiropractor's office. She was there, and it was about a year, and a half of watching her before I, you know, realized it's time for me to talk to her. Right. One day I did finally talk to her, and, because I felt like I was ready, because I knew there was another level in you, Neethi. I knew there was another level for me that I needed. So when I talked to you, you mentioned something that helped me to figure another phase out for myself, to get to another level of health, of optimal health. I was talking about meat. We were talking about meat, talking about a few other things, and you had mentioned something about how, you know, they start them off, even though it's organic. So, okay, so I was organic and I was clean, but they start them off eating good. Or, you know, organic. But then they finish them off with grain and soy. And I was like, no, don't tell me that. They're not
Isn't
supposed to do
that.
It was like another level of assault. As I am living in this clean life with my teenage daughter, who was at the time 12 years old. And she was going through a horrible time with her cycle. She was having migraines. She was not sleeping. She, you know, every time her cycle would come around, she would have insomnia. My baby was having cramps that were debilitating. She had complexion that was just riddled, and then a flow that was so bad that she could hardly stand.
Wow.
This was going on with me, and I'm like, I have a clean life. What is happening? Like, what else can we do? And when you told me that, I realized I had pulled all the soy, which has got phytoestrogens, estrogen mimicking, plastics, all those things. Mm-hmm. I had thought I pulled it out. Plastics leach, and it does the same thing. I was thinking I was being diligent, but it was hidden in some of the organic food.
Well,
and then
it's
that's
in all
where,
of the meat. I want to be very, very clear. So we have no animal feed standard in this nation. And then if you go towards organic, there's still 10 things wrong. Why? Because A, organic doesn't mean that it has to be soy free. Let's be very clear about that.
Right.
And all the soy is genetically modified. And everyone acts like organic means GMO free, which is a lie. Because if it was true, then there would be no soy allowed in any of the animal feed. Okay, so whenever you see something that it's organic, if it's GMO free, then it should also be soy free. If it's not, then it's not clean. And let me tell you, it's not. Okay, it's not, because when you're raising animals in houses, when you're raising animals in CAFOs, which organic is still being raised in a CAFO, a confined animal feeding operation. Okay, they can't raise your 20,000 organic chicken out on a pasture somewhere. Okay. If you're getting grass fed, you know, if you want something to be organic and you want it to be GMO free and you want it to be soy-free, and you want it to be on pasture, and you want it to be outside in clean air with all the five essentials for life, for sunshine and clean air and clean water and correct feed, and, you know, for it to be able to hear, you know, the classical music in its head or whatever, like be joyful. All right. If you're giving these creatures the life that they should have, which, by the way, when you're not doing that, if you're allowing them to be raised in a confined animal feeding operation, then A, it's obviously not good for the animals, but it's a human rights violation. Okay. It's a human rights violation for the humans that have to work there. It's a human rights violation for the humans who have to transport them, who have to work in those, you know, centralized butcheries. It's a human rights violation for the fact that the people who are raising them are basically in what I call modern day slavery. That's a different conversation. I'll get into that one day because I'm going to have an entire episode just about the human rights violations. Okay. Because I can go on listing them. And so, you know, we need to get to the end of your story, but if you're buying meat in a store, it is not clean. I don't care if it's organic. And the reason is it's because it's not regenerative. Okay. I want you guys to look all that up. And I want you to be prepared for the next episode because every episode we're going to reveal more. If you're listening to the podcast, then, you know, you already have heard some of this. But, you know, repetition is the key,
right? That's right.
So we're not going to quit. Janae, I need you to tell us how, like, okay, so you found me.
Yep.
I assaulted you.
You didn't.
Well.
I was being assaulted.
I just pointed out more assaults.
Yeah. And plus, it was my daughter. You know, now it's my baby. And I'm thinking I'm eating clean. What do I do for her? It's always been for her. It's been mm-hmm. for me. It's been for her. You know, what's for me is for her. What's going wrong? So I took a deeper dive, right? Mm-hmm. After talking to you initially, I took a deeper dive. I didn't join the CSA at that point, juncture, but I did realize it's important for her to get her nerve health checked as well. She then began chiropractic care. I did another deeper dive on soy, pulled that out, and I was thinking about the care products that we were mm-hmm. using as well. There were a lot of different elements that I changed, and another level of clean that I got to. And if you could show that third picture, she began to soar. You know, she had, you know, one of the things for a teenager, you know, it's acne was there, you know, it was really there. She began to soar. She had many bumps, you know, on her face and, you know, was kind of self-conscious about that. But see, she wasn't all the way sold either because although we were clean, there were things that she was doing. Mm-hmm. Which that was another thing. But what she realized was once she was listening to me, realized that the things that she was doing wasn't totally working. She was mostly eating clean at mm-hmm. home. But then, you know, every now and then you'd find a honey bun in her pocket. And I'm like, what is that? Right? You know, if you can't eat that. But she stopped doing that. She started having juices, and she started seeing her complexion clearing. She started getting really like pumped about going to Dr. Barnes and getting her adjustments mm-hmm. because she then had her cycles stop giving her trouble. Now, if you ask her, she doesn't even think about it. You know, mm-hmm. it was debilitating for a year straight. Yeah. Now, nothing. Everything is great. She's regular, you know, everything is working well.
She's complexion experiencing cleaned. The benefit.
Experiencing right. the benefits. And that's the thing. Like some people may have children that, you know, what do I do? Well, just there's some things that you can do, but let them do their thing. Right. So they know what doesn't work. And then just go up to them and say, you know,
make them conscious of
right.
something, you know, and yeah. you do this. All of us are doing this yeah. with our children all the time is saying, oh, you chose that.
Yes.
Do you know what's about to happen? Are you sure that's the choice you want to make?
And let them choose it away from you. Have mm-hmm. it, everything in your house be the right choice.
The home
choice.
Should be sacred.
Yes.
Your home should be sacred. Okay? I don't allow anything adulterated right. in my house. I don't care what it is, ever. Never. There. You know, people say, do you guys cheat? What's your cheat day look like? I don't know what cheating is. There's either poisoning my body or not. There's either poisoning my children or not. I'm not poisoning anybody in my house. So there is no cheat. I don't need to cheat. I don't know what you're talking about.
The food is good, so right. You don't really feel like
you're eating. We're not sacrificing. We're not on a diet.
We're not sacrificing.
Okay, how about we're not on a diet?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not trying to do, you know, we're not trying to regulate. Right. We're allowing our food to regulate us. Yep. You know, when you're using clean food and you're making the choice to be that intentional all the time.
Yes.
Because we could have cancer all the time.
It's
right?
Like, yeah. It becomes like breathing. Yeah. You breathe, you don't even know you're breathing.
Yeah. So now look at this. She'll go to school. She used to not do this, but she'll go to school with her little thermos packed with broth from the morning. Mm-hmm. And people look at her and they're like, what's that? And some of her really good friends are like, oh, that is good stuff. I've tasted right. some of that. It's good. You know, yeah. So she's
it looks funny, but you know.
Giving an impression and, yes. and influencing her generation, which she's now got a mission to do that because it worked for her and it gives her energy. So I check her every day. How do you feel? How's your energy? She's like, I feel good. You know, she's on those microgreens, that broth. Mm-hmm. You know, she's on the meat that is clean. Mm-hmm. You know, people actually think you're going to be, you know, chewing on hay or something.
No.
That's not how we eat.
No.
We eat good. People come in and they're very surprised when they see what we eat.
I eat everything I used to eat.
Right.
It's just I know where it comes from.
We just eat it with cleaner components. The
right.
components that we use are of the highest quality and never, ever not. And we know where everything comes from and never, ever not.
Yep.
It's never. Actually, if I have to travel and I can't find anything, I would sooner fast.
Yes.
Which I'm happy to do. And I can almost everywhere, I can pretty much find a green juice or something as close to it as I can find. Or I'll just find some fruit or something. And I can always generally find some nuts, probably not the cleanest, best quality or whatever. But I will just live
and
on fruit and nuts.
And you still ask questions.
Yes, I still ask questions. But I actually, like, you know, we've traveled and we, you know, we were in Texas for a wedding not long ago and I was very strategic. Mm-hmm. I planned it all out. I called and I made friends before I got down there. And when I went down there, I knew where I was going to pick up my food. I knew what I was going to eat. And we were limited to whatever the 3 to 5 things or whatever that I have found.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
We were great.
Yes.
And you know what? Once you find out what it feels like to feel good, you don't want to feel bad.
Right.
Our children do not want to feel bad.
That's
I mean,
right.
The Sprite truck could back up at my house right now and say, free whatever. And my kids will look at the guy like, are you crazy?
All our kids are there right now,
yeah.
right? They would all be horrified at the Sprite truck pulling up.
They would look at the man and say, would you like a green drink? Yeah, kombucha or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they would all be trying to prey on the man and say, we're so sorry that you feel like you have to drink that, you know. And they would even give them their own, you know, we'll have them on the show sometime.
Yes.
But we got to wrap this up. I don't want to.
There's
like,
one more thing
yes,
that I want to show.
Get all your story.
So we had a question of how did you get here? How am I here? You know,
yes.
all of that.
What is
how
your
I'm
regenerative
here.
Life lesson?
My regenerative life lesson. Good question. You know, it's all of that. All of that. My story establishes me here. You were a part of my story. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Dr. Barnes. I'm grateful for you. And I think I conjured you up in prayer. Because, you know, when it came down to it and I finally realized, you know, that you had another piece of my puzzle that clicked in. You know how I was when
yeah.
I first joined. I was like, bam, thank you. I already know this is
yes.
good. I have my strategic way of getting to completely out of the grocery store, but I know this is good. And I have mm-hmm. gone up in energy since then. I'm through the roof. I'm like monster drinking every day, but it's not monster drinks. It is the
nutrient-dense. We don't know why anybody needs a monster drink.
I don't
right?
even understand. Can you show that fourth picture? So before I joined the CSA, it was I'm losing track of time, but it was a little over a year ago, because I joined last February.
Okay.
That December before, mm-hmm. I created a vision board. I asked you questions, I knew you, but I didn't really talk to you. I made the decision to join the CSA after I made my vision board. This is my vision board, and I know you guys can't see it, but there's, you know, you see the pyramid, right? This was my vision. I'm like, look, eat right. But I think, you know, for me, I'm on a mission. I want to get big business out of our food supply.
Oh, I see you have, like, changed the pyramid. You wrote in stuff.
I crossed it out like this. I want to impact policies. I want big things. Yeah. I don't know how to do this.
That's
how
amazing.
Do I do this? Mm-hmm. And in red, I can't read it either, but it was something like, what does it say?
I don't know. But you know what
okay,
I remember?
Okay,
you know,
wait. Drive the cost of good food down.
Oh, yeah.
And how do I do this? In partnership with maybe, I don't know, Farm to Fork Meats.
Wow.
Yeah. And I talked to you on the phone that next week,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And
yep.
I don't know if you remember this. I was actually at work, and I broke down in tears because you said, you know what? Because I called you because I wanted to join the CSA. I finally took that step.
Okay.
And I had already had this on my vision board. I didn't even know you. And I was looking for how do I impact these things. And what you said to me was, I'm going to take you under my wing. We're going to talk. And I don't do this for everybody, you know, but at this, I just think that this is the thing, you know, we need to do. And yes, you can join. And I was just like, I found it. You know, I found that thing that's going to create what, you know, the synergy that I need. I found somebody and a connection, somebody that understands where I am. And that's huge. That's what this show is about.
Yes.
We want to bring people in. We want them to have these connections. But you were empowering to me. You were synergy to me. You were part of my missing puzzle. And it was there before I knew you, which was amazing to me.
Well, that was the thing is like when I talk to people, when I talk about this, you know, people come to me or they step over to me and they expect that I'm going to sell them something and that I'm going to give them a quick fix. And when I don't do that, they don't know what to do.
But what I want people to realize is it can be the quick fix.
It can.
It fixed me in a couple weeks.
But you have to, like, you were open and ready for that. And when you came to me also, then you were in a different mindset. And you were open and ready to receive what I was going to say to you. And there are most people who are in the membership or that I have in my folder or anything like that is because I say things and then they generally get mad at me or get assaulted, or maybe they're not mad at me, but they're mad about the truth that I just violated.
Yes.
And then they'll go away, but they never go away. They always come back because they can't unhear what I said. And sometimes they'll come back, hear a little bit more, and go back away. Mm-hmm. And then they'll do it a few times or they'll start following me from a peripheral. And now that we have the media outlet, which is what I was always working towards. I didn't even realize, actually, someone empowered me with the media solution, Polly. Thank you very much. So, you know, I never would have thought of doing it this way. And I am so thankful to both of you because you guys actually helped to, you know, you guys came in to my life and into the CSA around the time that I needed support for moving towards this. So, you know, that's why I think it's so awesome that we can actually work together. And we want to empower the community. And so I can't wait for you guys to meet more people that we have within the CSA or that we have in this community that we know of that are actually doing everything regenerative or contributing towards this cause. And so I think that from here, we should, look forward to the next episode. And please keep tuning in and I hope that we were able to, you know, help share something with you today that was here to serve you in the way that you need it, right?
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your story today.
Thank you, Janae.
Hey friends, we hope that this production has served you in some way today. If you would like to hear more shows like this, please help us grow our army of Minas by visiting our website and making a donation today. We are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and you know, I ask that you please like and share this video, follow us on Facebook, become involved with us on Instagram and Twitter, and all of our links can be found in the show notes. Thank you.